You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of The Bird Calls. I'm your host, Preston Ellis, and today we are previewing the Spurs with our preseason buddy from SB Nation's PoundingTheRock.com. This is Editor-in-Chief, Mr. J.R. Wilco. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, Preston. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm over in Orlando where it is a crisp 50 degrees right now. How's it over there?
we were in the 40s this morning, but we had an 89 degree day in some places in town. In Austin, it was 90 over the weekend, but we're back down in the 40s. So we'll just slowly be creeping up like I expect you guys will be.
Yeah, I'm definitely not complaining. Last year we had a couple of heat indexes over 125. So I'll take 50 as long as I can get it.
In March, that's just wrong.
I know, not in March. This is more July and August is pretty much the time of year where everybody starts contemplating moving to Canada. all right, let's get talking about the Spurs here, buddy. Everybody, you can follow him, of course, at Jolly Roger Wilco and at Pounding the Rock. You guys have been doing some pretty terrific work. I check your website just before we did this. And of course, I go through everybody's websites before we do all these previews. And you guys have some wonderful content. You write multiple articles a day. Make sure that you guys check that out. And sir, I was kind of getting a glimpse of what you guys do in terms of covering your games, and you were live tweeting. Of course, your handle at Pounding the Rock was live tweeting, and I got a good joke out of the end of the third quarter. I think you guys were up like 95-67 over the Orlando Magic, and I don't think it was you tweeting, but somebody tweeted something like, and that'll do it for us, 95-60. Oh wait, you guys want to play another quarter? All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good stuff. So you guys will be live tweeting tomorrow, right?
Oh, absolutely. We do through every game. I don't always live tweet. I've got five kids. So my personal handle isn't active in every single game. Last night the tweet that I was wanting to send out that I never did. I couldn't find the perfect way to say it was. You know, you can't get back into the playoff hunt in one game. It's not by how many points you win. It's all the games you win. It just sounded I didn't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. It's been so long since we've really thrummed any team. And so it was kind of nice to do that to the Magic.
Yeah, I think you guys ended up winning by 36. It was 108-72. And, you know, every team in the NBA has you know, NBA quality players, I guess I should say. With that being said, the Magic are shorthanded. They're one of the worst teams in the league.
Oh, they've only got
20 wins. Yeah, but 36 points is still impressive. It doesn't matter who you do it against. And with that being said, the San Antonio Spurs have been struggling. It's become a popular story for national media types because they've been to the playoffs 20 consecutive years. But this calendar year, I'm reading this off your website, you guys are 13-18. You've won seven of the last, or you're 7-14 in your last 21 games, not including last night's matchup with the Thunder. You guys have your first losing or record on the road for the first time in 20 years. You're tied with the Utah Jazz for the eighth seed at 38-30. However, you are 24-8 at home, and nine of your last 15 games are at home. What is your belief right now that San Antonio is going to make the playoffs?
There is no belief. I don't think they will. The schedule is just too rough. Play the Warriors, play you guys, play Portland, play Houston. There's just way too many quality teams out there for how the Spurs are playing right now without Kawhi. And even if they bring him back at this point, I don't know that I can have a whole lot of expectation that he's going to step in and be the Kawhi he would be with a preseason and a full complement of games behind him. It's just, he's still the guy that he can be, you know, if he's healthy, if he can play. But that was when everybody was thinking that he was going to come back on Thursday. which, you know, the Spurs never confirmed and was always just an ESPN report. Pop was asked about that in his pregame yesterday. And they're like, well, you know, the reports, and he's like, well, yeah, where'd you hear that? And they go, well, you know, there were the reports, the ESPN. He goes, yeah, well, there you go. I risk my case.
Shot fired across.
just because somebody says something's going to happen and ESPN prints it doesn't mean that it has anything to do with us. I love it. I love when Pop goes off like that. But the point of all of that was that even when we thought it was possible Kawhi would come back on Thursday, I didn't think that they would make it, because it takes a while for a guy to get all the way back, obviously, and it takes a while for the team to play with him after playing without him for so long. And the team is just it. We have NBA level players, sure, but there's been so many injuries this year. Everybody's been filtering in and out of the lineup. And yeah, Preston, all of you know this, every single guy on the Spurs roster has led the team in scoring this season.
That I actually had that written down, because I took that off of your website. I was going to bring that up later. It's incredible.
That is not consistency. That is flying by the seat of the pants, trying to get it done tonight type stuff. And the Spurs have won 4 of their last 14. They are 4-10 over the last 14. That is a team that is fraying at the edges with a whole bunch of young guys that have never seen a whole lot of playing time. Davis Bertans, Bryn Forbes, DeJounte Murray, absolutely. Look, at the beginning of the season, I thought he's 2 years away from being able to be starting quality point guard. And everybody's glowing about him because he's actually producing. It's not about whether he can produce. The kid can produce. It's just there's going to be tons of problems. There's going to be tons of mistakes, tons of stuff that Tony wouldn't give you. Of course, there's a lot of good stuff Tony wouldn't give you, right? Those Costa Core, that he had an amazing, beautiful steal. And he does this so often. I see so few guys do this. When they steal, he doesn't bring the ball in front of him. If he makes a steal and the ball's pretty much behind him by the time he gains control, he always goes with the behind the back pass. And sometimes even like literally behind his back, like throws the ball ahead of himself as the first dribble. It's crazy. I've never really seen anybody else in the league do this the way that DeJounte does. And it's exciting as all get out. But I mean, like the guy's like the worst in the league at finishing around the rim. His jumper is gone from hopelessly broken to just poor, and he doesn't shoot threes. So that's not what the 21st century NBA offense needs. And they're just growing pains is what they are right now. Tony Parker had a great quote the other day where he essentially said, at the end of games, we used to, Manu, Tim, and I, we used to just look each other and know what we were running and know where each other were going to be and be able to wind up with really easy baskets. That's just not possible anymore. These guys, that was the end of the quote. It's just not possible anymore. And so these guys can't get out there and just win games at the end. So we had six, and that streak of those 14 games I was talking about, six losses in a row came when the Spurs were leading in the fourth quarter. Those are games that they used to put in their back pocket. And now they're getting, you know, teams are coming back against them and teams are just outright beating them down the stretch. And it's all because these guys are learning to play with each other. You can't win. It's the classic thing, right? How's this team doing? Oh, they're an up and coming team. Well, they're in the playoffs. Is this their year? Oh, no, they've got to lose before they win. Right. That's the whole process. You need to be able to transition from being a team with talent and potential to learning how to play together, learning how to win together, and then relying on each other. And the Spurs are in that spot now. It's weird.
Yeah, it is strange. The Spurs, you preaching a lack of familiarity. The Spurs have always kind of just rebuilt on the fly. And now watching them take a step back, so to speak, just to read off the schedule, the Spurs, they have the number one strength of schedule, hardest strength of schedule, I should say. After the Pelicans, they fight the Wolves, Warriors, Wizards, Jazz, Bucks, Wizards, Thunder, Rockets, Clippers, Lakers, who have been playing very well as of late, the Blazers, and then the Kings before closing the season on the Pelicans. That is rough.
And when you look at the Spurs, they have, I believe, of all teams in playoff contention, they have the worst record against, maybe this is just in the West, but the worst record against playoff teams. So, I mean, you just listed off, I don't know, it seems like 70, 75% of those names are playoff teams. It's not, I'm for the first time in 20 years, been looking at mock drafts to see, you know, how far the Spurs fall and how high their ping pong ball gets picked and what the lottery is going to look like. I know that I'm just trying to be realistic and trying to be as optimistic as I can. I'd love to watch the team win, but what do they gain if they squeak into the playoffs and get swept in the first round? I don't see that they gain anything. And I don't see, you know, much optimism to expect anything but that if they squeak in. At this point, I'm not going to say that. I don't say I'm calling for a tank. I'm just saying I would like the highest pick possible.
I think everyone around the NBA would be thrilled to see the Spurs out of the playoffs, because I know for my Pelicans and pretty much every team across the association, nobody is interested in seeing Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs in the playoffs. So if you guys want to take a back seat this year, I'm sure that's okay with all of us. And I certainly understand the frustration with the national media. I think the Ringer and ESPN have traded Drew Brees to the Vikings and Anthony Davis to either the Cavaliers or the Celtics probably a dozen times at this point this year. But to continue on with that Kawhi Leonard news, I mean, there is a standing belief that we are going to see him at some point. He hasn't officially been ruled out for the season. And of course, like you mentioned, that false report that he was going to play against the Pelicans, we were thrilled when we found out that was indeed not the case. I read a report on poundingtherock.com as well as a national story that the Spurs are still waiting on Kawhi's medical team to clear him. Now, does that indicate his own personal team or the San Antonio Spurs medical staff?
No, you read that correctly. So the Spurs medical staff and Kawhi's camp, I guess, for lack of a better term, don't exactly aren't. How about this? We'll say that they aren't the same people. Now, last night. Before the game that the Spurs played against Orlando, right? So Tuesday night, Pop said that there wasn't any disagreement between the camps, right? Between Kawhi's team and the Spurs medical staff. There's been rumors. I think it's all overblown as far as the friction between Kawhi and the team. I mean, like, there were reports of Kawhi being in really good spirits last night, you know, joking around with guys, like, you know, giving a fist bump to Pop, right? So the reports of friction, I think, are overblown, but there was definitely a lack of agreement between the way that, and I say definitely, I would say, if you ask me, I have no proof, but I would definitely say that there was a lack of agreement between the Spurs official medical staff and, you know, the people that Kawhi has on his side as far as the way that they were going to rehab him. And what I have heard is that that the Spurs essentially said, you know, do what you got to do, and then we will do our rehab once you feel like you're good. And they tried that earlier in the year and couldn't get him back. And so now they're just being very careful. This is a potentially chronic situation. This is not something that you want to be living with for the rest of your career. And the point, and my understanding is, the point is, you, if you're going to hold him out as long as you've held him out already, why bring him back when he's still experiencing pain, and then just wind up it eventually getting back to the way where it was? I think the idea is, if in for penny, in for pound at this point, if he's still experiencing pain a little bit, then you don't play him. And you go until he's 100% pain-free. And then how long do you go beyond that? I don't know. But if he's 100% pain-free, then that means that the fabric, right, the fabric of the tendon and where it connects is whole. And going forward, you can expect him to not have to deal with this. As long as it's monitored, you're good. But getting to that point where he's pain-free is the issue at this point. Has he been cleared by the Spurs medical staff to play? Yes. Could he play? Yes. But again, why give up all of these games if you're just going to get him to the point where he's almost pain-free and still going to get worse and worse and worse if he plays on it? And that's the position that they're in right now, and I completely get it.
Now, Kawhi came out and said that he wanted to be a Spur for life. With that being said, he's got 1 year left on his contract, followed by a player option. Do you think this is something that gets resolved over the summer, kind of like they did with LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kawhi comes back the happy Spur, and you guys continue this streak after taking 1 year off from the playoffs, I guess? Or do you think the friction is actually there and it's building?
No, I don't think there's any friction. I don't think he goes back to being the happy Spur. I think he is a happy Spur. I don't think he's a happy camper, because I mean, there've been all kinds of reports about what happens to athletes in their prime that have to take a year off or any significant period of time off when you're used to playing all the time, when you're used to, you know, the endorphins that you get from playing the game, and you have to do without those. You know, I mean, like there is a depression that comes at that point. And so you don't want that. It's awful. It's rough. And honestly, I understand where the friction is coming from. Just if we only look at the fact that Kawhi is injured, that's enough. I expect him to look. Winning cures a lot of ills. And when Kawhi comes back, I fully expect the Spurs to win a lot of games. He's like one of the best five players in the league. That's not going to change just for him taking a few games off. And when you add a guy with those capabilities back to your roster, you win games. And the Spurs have been right there in a lot of these games that they've lost. Those are games that they win with a prime Kawhi in there. And I expect to see prime Kawhi, and I expect him to be happy in San Antonio, and I expect him to stay. So, yeah.
A definite conversation for another time. The Pelicans, so too, have had Quincy Pondexter and Solomon Hill, and a lot of players across the association have their own medical teams. They have their own doctors perform surgery on them. Pelicans like to go to LA for a lot of their treatments. And it can become a sticky situation when these guys have complications with their rehab, when they have a lot of these procedures and treatments done outside of their facility. So definitely a conversation worth having in the future could possibly mitigate a lot of that friction between team and player. But let's go ahead and talk about the Pelicans and the Spurs. The Spurs are 28th in pace. The Pelicans have been first since Boogie went down. You guys are 28th in the league and scoring 18th in offensive rating, but you're first in defense, second in rating. You mentioned that every single member of the Spurs has led the team in scoring this year. So too, the Spurs have had 24 different starting lineups against the Magic. You guys rolled out Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, Danny Green, Kyle Anderson, and LaMarcus Aldridge. So like you said, this team is continuing to discover different ways to play this season. And you've had some injuries as well. I want to get your reports on that. Pau Gasol has been back after a brief stint on the bench, but he's only shooting 6 shots per game, only 36% from the field. He had a bruised left knee bone, and he's also wearing a sleeve on his shoulder. What is his status right now, and why do you think he was removed from the starting lineup?
Man, you have some big questions. So he took a large number of games, or a good number of games. I want to say it was in the teens that he missed earlier this season. Nearly everybody on the roster. It's been a chock full of injuries. The injury report this year has just been. I've always had somebody on it. Right. There's one game that that the Spurs had their full complement of players. One game that Kawhi played that nobody else was injured. And that's pretty normal for any NBA team. But it's just been an extraordinary year across the board for that. But the latest issue with Powell is that he went and played against Memphis, played against his brother, and brothers, you know, bring out the best in each other. And also, anyway, they banged shoulders together really hard, and Powell had to take at least one game off because of that. Why did he leave the starting lineup? I think that the Spurs experienced their best play last season when Powell was coming off the bench. He was in a small injury last season and came back, and they just worked him back in from the bench, and the team played so well. He's a really interesting player in what he brings to the team at this point. His per minute numbers are across the board. How about this? His efficiency numbers are off the charts. He just, for my money, he just doesn't shoot enough. No player over the last two seasons has hit a higher percentage of his shots, of his 3-point shots, than Powell has. And yet he hardly shoots them. it's really frustrating how little the club is depending on him. But again, I mean, like you said, they're still trying out different starting lineups. They're still learning how to play together. And it's the end of the season, right? This is the team. This is the time when teams are locking things in and relying on what they know will work, not experimenting. That shows you where San Antonio is this year. Without Kawhi, they're a team that's investigating their youngsters and trying to see what they're capable of and giving them room to stretch their legs. There's just no way that Bryn Forbes and Derek White and Davis Bertans get as much playing time as they've gotten recently if the team is doing everything it can to get everything locked down and set in stone for the playoffs.
To back up some of the things you were saying, he's 39% from three this season, per 36, 15.5 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, albeit on only 24 minutes per game. He's got 2 years left, $32 million guaranteed. So it's a pretty expensive bench player. But like you said, when he's on the court,
he's as efficient and as effective as you would want somebody to be. And yet they don't design any place for him to shoot from three. He just shoots it and he regularly passes up open threes. I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's a little frustrating, but it's amazing that, I don't look at how much some guy makes. Honestly, he's on the team, right? So how are you going to use him? Oh, you're going to use him in a way that you think is going to win you the most games. And you know, they use him as a facilitator and in a way to play off. Here's the way that Popovich thinks. This is the way that they approached the seasons that led to their last championship, right? We know we're going to meet the Heat if we make it to the finals. So let's play every game as though we're playing against the Heat. The style of offense and the style of defense that we think is going to make it give us our best chance of winning against that team. That's the way we play all along, to the point where we are so used to playing that when we get there, it's open and closed case. That's the way that they played those years. And when they did get up there against the Heat, then they won. Right. And now it's the Warriors. So they play the style of play that they think is going to take them there. There's no sense in relying on Powell as a cornerstone of an offense and building around him when if your season gets all the way to where you want it to be, you just have to play a different way in order to beat the team that you know that you're going to meet. So they don't build around all that efficiency, all that effectiveness, because Powell's not going to be on the court all that often against a team that can run around him and target him every single time that he's out there. Right. There are things that he can do. Right. He can be the five in a four smalls and a center look. but you're not going to start him out there with LaMarcus for many games in a seven-game series against Golden State. And so that's why you see that stuff. All of his numbers are excellent efficiency-wise, but not his totals. His totals are not very good.
Yeah, it's hard not to look at the salary cap sheet when you've had Omar Asik on your books for four seasons long. But I do understand what you mean with Pau Gasol. What's the difference between $12 million and $16 million? You've still got a very highly effective player, whether he comes off the bench or in the starting lineup alongside LaMarcus Aldridge, depending upon matchups. We're at time, JR, so very quickly, I want to get your take on this game. The Pelicans are 16-42 lifetime against the Spurs, and you guys had us beaten up pretty good the last time we faced before LaMarcus Aldridge went down. You guys led by as many as 15 by 9 at the half. The Pelicans ended up winning the second half 70-56 with both he and Pau Gasol on the bench. You guys are 24-8 at home this year, and that's where the Pelicans will play you tomorrow night at 8:30. What do you think transpires?
You know, the Pelicans have owned the Spurs over the last few seasons. I mean, I couldn't tell you what it is right off, but I want to say probably 8-2, 9-3, something like that. So the Spurs, it's just like one of those teams that the Pelicans seem to get up for, match up well with. I mean, of course, Anthony Davis, just an amazing talent. Right now, maybe it's the 4-10 streak talking, but I don't expect the Spurs to win any game that they play right now. I'm not rooting against them. I'm not expecting them to lose. I just can't expect them to win because of the way that they're struggling so much right now. So with LaMarcus, it'll obviously be better. Coming off of a game where the team shot so well, you would hope that they would shoot well again. But the team has not been in any way. The shooters have not been consistent at all this season. So after, you know, lighting the world on fire against Orlando, you know, a team that knows what it's doing on defense and has been playing so incredibly well without Cousins, I like just based on momentum alone, I'd have to say, you know, that the Pelicans come in to San Antonio and probably walk out with a win.
Well, I do hope you're right for our sakes, but I do want to go over something quickly. The Pelicans are actually 6-18 in the past five seasons against the Spurs. They are, let's see, 3-6 in the previous two seasons. The seasons before that, 2012, I missed the last two. Okay, so this season, the Pelicans are 2-0. Last season, they were 1-3. And the season before that, they were 1-3. So the Pelicans are not owning the San Antonio Spurs. I have to stop you there.
No, that'd be like from the Spurs perspective, I mean, any team that can be 1-3 against us is killing us, right? I mean, it should be 4-0 every year.
I guess that's a fair point. You guys regularly have 55 wins.
Wow,
so anybody
that feels so much worse. I mean, every Spurs fan will tell you that the Pelicans own this. That's hilarious. That's conventional wisdom just being out to lunch.
Oh man, that's incredible. But when you win 60 games every season, every loss hurts. I'm sure that's what
there you go.
Thank you so much for your time. Before we go, we'll have our preview pretty much up around the time that you'll be listening to this, Pelicans fans. In addition, we'll be discussing the Pelicans' heart-stopping victory last night over the Hornets. We'll be doing that with Ollie and Kevin. They never make anything easy for us. Hard to believe they're going to make this Thursday's matchup with the Spurs easy for us, too. Thank you so much to JR. Follow him at Jolly Roger Wilco and at Pounding the Rock. Give our listeners a bit of what they can find on poundingtherock.com between now and tomorrow.
A lot of snark, I'm sure. no, it's like, I guess if anybody wants to hang out with a whole bunch of Spurs fans that are feeling pretty woe is me, you can head into the comments. But right now we have a round table that the staff did that we posted on Tuesday. You can definitely take a look at what we learned from the Spurs win over the Orlando Magic. Although it's a 21 team, what can you learn from that? But we definitely have recaps, previews, analysis, and trying to run the entire gamut though. So that's pretty much what we can find.
after the Spurs Game 7 victory over Chris Paul in 2008. I'm sure Pelicans fans are happy to dance on the grave of the Spurs 2017-18 season if we can. So thank you so much for your time again, sir. I know that was snark for Sonified. But thank you. Wonderful job. Definitely going to have this post going up. And for all of you guys, remember tonight, Ollie and Kevin will be back. For now, good luck to you guys and your Spurs. I hope it gets better before it gets worse for you guys. And we'll talk to you soon. Let's go, Pels. You have been listening to The Bird Calls. Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, do us one more favor. Go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate our podcast today.